listening to The Couple's Guide Podcast.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Talia.
We're both licensed marriage and family therapists, and today,
like every day,
we're debunking myths and delivering truth about dating, relationships, and everything in between.
Trust us.
It's awesome.
I am so excited. It's episode 100.
100! Oh, wait. That might be copyrighted. That was a Star Wars cantina.
I wouldn't have known that, so you're good.
I'll just do some really bad beatboxing.
Good. Yes.
We are celebrating. I just woke up my dog. We're so excited. She's like, yeah, what are we celebrating right now? Yeah, indeed. Cheers to 4 years, Talia.
It's been a long, long journey. I still remember I remember the first day I ever met you. That was before 4 years ago. And then I remember the first phone call when this was created.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to ask specifically about that in a second. But just want to let listeners know that today's episode, number 100, we're not actually going to be asking, or we're not going to be going into relationship stuff or supporting a listener question or anything. We've teased this a little bit in our previous episodes, but we wanted to take this episode and mark the 100th episode a little bit differently and have a little question back and forth with me and Talia. Share a little bit and honor, like, how we started 4 years ago, and then maybe just kind of do more of a direct approach of asking each other just some questions about ourselves. So it's a little bit about us wanting to honor us, but hopefully all you listeners too can enjoy this celebration as well, that the podcast has been going on for 4 years at our 100th episode. Very cool.
I think it's worth celebrating. And I think if we have newer listeners, they might not know the history and the backstory. So I think this will be a great episode, and it's still about a relationship. It's about our relationship. So
yeah,
I like it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice reframe. I'm into that. Today, focusing on relationships will be our relationship.
Which the one brings you all the advice.
Yeah. Which you're turning into about, you remember kind of the first like talkings of the podcast.
Yes.
And that was my first question. Yeah. What do you remember and how the podcast got started, or how we kind of like came together and started doing this? What's your memory of it? Like probably like 4.5-ish years ago.
Yeah. I remember. So before the phone call, I remember having met you at the events that we would go to together. And then we got coffee. Mm-hmm. I remember that we got coffee in Newport. Mm-hmm. And I still remember like the exact place we were sitting, what we each ordered. And I was like so nervous because I had not really like hung out one-on-one. It was like networking. And I was like so excited, and it went well, obviously. And then I remember, I want to say it was a few months after that, because it was kind of cold weather, if I recall. Mm-hmm. A few months after that, I remember I was nannying still. It's a mm-hmm. long time ago, but I'd nannied for a long time. So mm-hmm. I was nannying still. And I remember getting the phone call. And I like had the baby on one side and you on the other side. And you had asked me a question. I was like, I had just put the baby down for a nap. That's what it was. Then I took your call. And then you were like, hey, I have this idea. If you're down for it or interested in it, I want to start a podcast. And I like really liked hanging out with you. I trust your judgment. I think you'd be a great personality to go back and forth with. We get along. Would you be interested in that? And I was like, heck yeah. And then I think planned another time to meet either Zoom or in person to try to like hash things out. And it wasn't like right after, but it was a couple weeks later maybe. And then we threw around some name ideas, and we used to meet in person for recording.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. Oh yeah. So this did, it used to be called a completely different name. We renamed it like halfway through. I remember that too, but that's what I remember at the very beginning. But I want to, before we dive into the other stuff, I want to ask what you remember.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that first coffee you had reached out, and that, if I recall correctly, my memory was that. So I was like a year ahead of you career wise.
Yes.
Because you had just graduated and you were starting your associateship and had been doing that for like a year or so.
I think it had already been like a year.
Yeah.
And then I was moving less from, or a year, over a little over a year, but I was moving away from community mental health and school-based work and moving more into private practice and like group practice. And that's, I think, when we first met.
And because what I remember, part of what the reach out initially just to meet was to kind of just pick my brain about setting up that type of like private practice transition and how to get ready for that. And I remember that part because, you know, getting to know you and like, hey, so what do you want? My first impressions or the things that stood out to me that related to the podcast, I should say, was, so here's someone who's a go-getter. Here's someone who I was excited to learn, like, loves working with couples and from a different perspective than I do. That was a huge thing. And then, of course, like, as we're talking, just both of us just kind of clicking. And, you know, when you first meet someone and being able to, like, oh, cool, like, it's just easy to talk. And the sort of excitement and energy you brought to a conversation. So that's what I took away from that first just normal, you know, therapist colleagues meeting. And that really sat with me because for a long time, I don't know how long, but maybe even from like grad school, so maybe years, I've been thinking about like, maybe it would be cool to do a podcast. And to be honest, like the reason for the podcast was just marketing, about wanting to be visible, present, and help that be a business thing. I'll share probably later how that's really like completely changed and how I'm like the opposite of that now.
I have absorbed that and you...
I'm like, no, thank you on the on that part anymore. But at the time, that's where I was thinking about, like, you know, a new practice, wanting to grow it. And I knew that I liked podcasting. I had never done a podcast before, but I listen to podcasts all the time. It's something that I felt like would be enjoyable to me versus, our listeners probably know, I don't do social media. So, like, you know, that was something that I felt like I could do. So it'd been on my brain for a while. And then meeting you and, oh, this is exactly what it was that would be a perfect fit. Here's a human I could see. Because one of the biggest things that had kept me from wanting to start it was I wasn't going to do one of those solo podcasts that wasn't going to be right for me, because I didn't want to have to always be finding a guest person to bring on. That'd be a lot of work and maybe not like my passion. Second, like needing to find someone who I felt like had the dynamic where we clicked, but also someone who I could generally trust would actually show up and want to do this. And that was the vibe. No matter what, I think there was a risk for both of us to say, let's do it and let's hope the other person actually sticks with it. But that was a big thing for me. So after having met you, and I always like to joke how I was like thinking about it, I was thinking about you in the shower. I always love that little like mini, about this podcast. And I'm like, I think this is someone who like checks those boxes, driven, good chemistry, into couples therapy, but a different style. And lastly, it was about how we started. The idea originally was I just wanted to talk about couples therapy and help like lay people like hear about what to expect in couples therapy. I wasn't even envisioning it being what it is today, like a couples advice slash, you know, conceptualization and helping and healing podcast. I just wanted to be like, oh my gosh, I came into this therapy world, knew nothing about couples therapy. How many people would benefit from just kind of getting a behind the scenes approach of what to expect when you go into therapy? Because if you've never done it, it's kind of mysterious, stigmatized, scary, that kind of stuff. So that was my initial ideas and my initial memories. Oh, I guess last thing actually is, then I called you and you were like, not actually these words, but the vibe was, fuck yeah, let's do it.
I was very excited.
Yeah, it was really cool. And then we did do that other meet where we did sit down. I remember, like, I think there's still like a photo I have of us with like the notepads, the brainstorm, the ideas, when we talk community gritties. Yeah, title, did we want to monetize or not, which I was really always against, still am, much I'm sure to your chagrin.
I like this because I like you, so I'm cool with it. I'm not in this for the money.
Yeah, if listeners are ever curious as to why, like, we don't have a Patreon or we don't have sponsors or, like, why the show doesn't have, like, the monetary vibe to it, that's been an important thing for me.
Yeah,
because I never wanted this to be, well, I shouldn't say never. I didn't go into it with that idea, but especially as I started loving doing it with you, I did not want the podcast for me to turn into a chore or a job. So part of the excitement and joy that hopefully listeners hear from me as we do this is because it genuinely is fun. As soon as, for me, my fear is that as soon as it gets monetized and there's now obligations to it, it's like turning something you love into a job, and there's benefits to that, but there's huge costs too. And I've been the main driver, and you've been very respectful of that. Thank you. That I've been like, I don't want to go into the monetization of this podcast. At least at this point, I still have no interest in it. That could always change in the future, but
I see. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I love listening to podcasts, obviously, ours included. And I have two others on my own, one with a co-host and one on my own that I bring guests on. And the one now that has a co-host, I used to bring guests on. So like, I'm familiar with all the different styles, and there's a large part of me that it'd be like cool to get the extra money per month. I'd probably just put it in my retirement. Like, it's not like I'd go blow it on something, but there's also the other part of me that I don't really want another thing on my plate to try to have to figure out, or to get a sponsor or a deal or a this, like, and all due respect to the people who have that. I think one day that'd be really cool. If a podcast could support my entire life the way everything else does, I'm not going to say no to it, but it's also just not the season that we're in. And to your point, I think it would definitely shift what it would be like, because we might be required to record ads or talk about certain things or what. And I like my autonomy. I like our autonomy, and I don't like people telling me what to do. So it really doesn't vibe with me well.
Yeah. I mean, with the listening numbers that we have, I think there we could monetize.
Sure.
And I always talk about, like, there's lots of other things that people can do to make money.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate / proud that I have a career that I already love what I do. I don't need to find other things. Some people are into that, and that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's, if I just want to make some more money, I'll take some more clients.
My passion.
I'll keep doing the thing I love doing.
Oh, I plan to do it till I'm like 95 years old. I think I've told you my plan is to die in the chair, and then the person who's across from me is going to be so traumatized. Yeah, where do you go to talk about trauma therapy? But they're going to be traumatized. But it's going to be a Twilight Zone episode. So if you're listening to this however many years from now, be excited that that could be you one day.
Yeah, exactly. Yay. Gotta witness that.
Yeah.
And they'll remember this episode and go, you know what? She warned us about that.
I planted the seed. It's your fault that you didn't keep it in mind. Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been, and I think we've had so many different iterations. That's the title thing. I think we could talk about that now, because in the beginning, I remember that was one of the true things that we bonded over, obviously of many others. Was like, how do we want to stand out? Making sure we didn't take somebody else's name, which I think more people would benefit from being more diligent about that. But you and I are very by the book and ethical. So it was like, let's make sure we're not taking somebody else's name. And we looked at it, and we were trying to be cute and quippy, which we are. And we looked at, thank you. We called it originally because it was the relationship statuses that were on different social medias and dating apps at the time, but mostly Facebook. That was a long time ago, where it was like single, in a relationship, whatever. And then it was, it's complicated. And we thought the perfect name because it's nuanced and it's complicated. So if you're a long time listener, you will have heard us reference that multiple times in the beginning of beginning episodes. As we always say, it's complicated. That wasn't just our shtick. That was like the name of it that we were alluding to. It's complicated, the Couples Guide podcast. And somewhere along the way, I think it was 2020. Yeah, it had to be like 2020-ish.
Fairly soon, like in the first year or so.
Yeah, not it was immediately, I remember,
like in the first year.
I remember it being, it was 2020. Like I think right after everything had shifted, or a little bit farther than that, pandemic wise. And I had reached out to somebody for help with something in my business, and she was looking at my whole website, and this happened to be on it, obviously. And she gave us some feedback. It was like a, 5 or 10 minute video of like, hey, I would do this, 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 and that. And it was, she just did it out of the goodness of her heart. And then that's when we switched the name, because she said it would be more searchable and everything else. And that was honest feedback. If you're listening, we still thank you for that. That was huge. And that's when we changed it and dropped the It's Complicated and kept the Couples Guide podcast.
Yeah, really cleaned it up. I think initially, I think we both, but I'll speak for me, that liked the kind of quip of It's Complicated being like the haha, smile title. Yeah. And then also back then, it was really kind of, you have the title and then the subtitle. It's Complicated, the Couples Guide podcast. I think A, we've shifted, and like, you know, I say we as like a culture, like that's a bit much. And also already the Couples Guide podcast is kind of a mouthful. I even wish like now it was a cleaner something.
Just one word.
In some way, but at the same time, it's been really important that that's really useful. Now there's enough of a following where I think we would pretty much never change it. But that was a really good thing in our first year kind of learning and stuff. And even outside of that professional opinion that we got, I definitely heard anecdotally from some people here and there that like, or you can just kind of tell, like when I was first telling people the podcast, they're like, what's it called? It just didn't have that intuitive click. Now, if someone's like, oh, you have a podcast? What is it? The Couples Guide podcast. There's no like confusion. There's no furrowed brow. They're like, oh yeah, duh, you're a couples therapist. That's So it all just kind of worked out nicely that way.
Yeah, I agree. I'm glad that we changed it. I'm glad that we've kept the change. And to your point, I don't think we would ever need to in the future. Yeah. Even when we shifted from, we shifted away from only talking about couples therapy and shifted more at my request into like dating and relationship advice, it took on a new personality, maybe is what we could call it, a new vibe. Yeah. And I think we still bring up couples therapy, obviously, but it's not solely focused on that. And I think that's been hugely beneficial to our listeners and people who can ask questions, because we can bring in our view of it into their world. And it's a really nice blend.
Yeah, I think a really important thing to acknowledge, and that I give you a lot of credit for and thank you for, is that you were a big advocate as we were going through this, going like, I think we need to open this up. Like, I think it needs to be more about like on that advice front. And I know I wanted to make sure it didn't turn into like a Dear Abby advice, sort of like salacious type thing.
True,
I definitely
want
it rooted in therapy. But I think that was just like a misplaced fear, because you and I just naturally always want to get into the clinical piece no matter
Very
what.
True.
But that was my worry about, I didn't want it to turn into like
an advice column.
Yeah, an advice column or something that's kind of like on like what I think like the radio, that's a little more I mean, on the radio, clickbait doesn't really work. But you know what I mean? Like, it just, I wanted to be more in depth and more useful. And once we did that to your championship of like opening it up, right away, those immediately my fears went away. Like, oh, yeah, this can still be really good and a deeper clinical discussion and more useful than some of the other types of audio options out there when it comes to relationships.
And I've heard so many other relationship type podcasts by people who are not trained at all. They're open about that. It's not like they're lying to their listeners. They always frame it that way. And it's a different lens, obviously, than when you have training in something. Just like if I were to describe neurosurgery, if I read it or Googled it or had underwent it myself, even to use the parallel analogy, I would have a totally different feedback than somebody who performs it and has studied it clinically. So knowing that there's space for all of the podcasts, and it's to my searching, it's one of the few or the only that I have found where it's dual co-host, both trained in couples therapy, two different perspectives, men and women. Like, it really hits all the markers that people would be hoping for, and we're always open to questions. And if not, you and I have great banter that we're able to sustain a podcast without sponsorship, without listener questions if we didn't have them, and it still does well, and we still get a ton of hits and listeners. So I think that's really cool, and I would like to pat ourselves on the back for that we've kept it going with consistency. I think we've only missed 2 or 3 episodes, honestly, in the last 4 years.
I think we've missed more than that. Not a lot, but yeah, just on the Mac front, it's been 4 years.
Once we, because we were on the schedule of every other Tuesday morning, and I would drive to you and we'd record in person.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic hit, so we switched, and then we continued it online because it was easier with our clinical schedules. Because I remember I got super busy and I was like, I'm not going to be able to make it. And then we switched to Thursday mornings, and it stayed that way for God knows how long at this point.
I'm just curious. I mean, I'm not going to go back and look at the numbers, but I mean, it's been 4 years, 100 episodes. So if we're doing every other week consistently, we'd have way more episodes.
I think I don't know.
It's also like mid-year, whatever.
Because it started in 2019.
Let's not go down that rabbit hole. I don't think that matters. Because
we'll
something else you said, I think, really
we'll
matters.
We'll do that later, okay? But in my head, we have been so diligent, we've only missed 3.
Well, we have been, well, I do think overall we have been very consistent. That was something I hinted a moment ago too, and I've said is like, that's been part of what's was important to me about finding a partner who could do that.
Yes.
And who I could trust to do that.
Yeah.
Especially like with newer podcasts. I mean, one of the things that is the hazard of our podcast culture these days, you get a, you know, people are like, yeah, anyone can do a podcast. Technically it is that simple, but the commitment
unfortunately for
through. Yeah. Well, that's
not, everybody should.
Not everyone should. And then it's like, they get hyped and excited. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, they've gotten 6 or 7 yeah. episodes in and they're kind of blah.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something really powerful and important to acknowledge, like having two people who have made those commitments. And you and I have both, while this has been really fun for both of us, there's definitely been moments for each of us where it hasn't been. And we've had mm-hmm. to do some like chats about that and work together mm-hmm. as a team to get through it. And that yes. is why I was really excited with when this idea popped in about our 100th episode is honoring that. And that was something you said importantly that I want to say, like the, how mm-hmm. much pride there is. I mean, there's a reason we're taking an entire episode 4 years later to talk about this.
Yeah,
is because it feels significant to you and me. And mm-hmm. that kind of goes to my other question just about the podcast of just what does this mean to you, Talia? And you sit back over these last 4 years, you think about this is our 100th episode. Yes, there's pride. What other kind of like feelings come for you? And we acknowledge this journey together.
What other feelings come up for me when I think about the last 4 years? Joy, definitely mm-hmm. joy. And joy. Okay, so joy, excitement, pride, fondness, if that's a feeling. I feel fondly mm-hmm. about this. I think I already said proud, pride. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud of us for staying with it for this many years. And what a testament to our communication skills with each other to bring something up before it turned into a conflict, before it was lashing out at one, not that I think we would ever be capable of that, but like we didn't have a falling out. There was no big mm-hmm. problem. We didn't have to drop the whole show. Like mm-hmm. we would call proactively. And I remember being in my backyard one day and being like, Ryan, I can't do this anymore. I'm so burned out. I have an e-commerce business, a private practice, a coaching thing, 2 podcasts, Partridge in a Pear Tree. That's just professionally, I can't. Okay. Like, this is really stressful and I'm going to need to outsource and whatever else. And thank you so much because I was able to shift because we didn't have we literally just hired somebody for help this year. I want mm-hmm. listeners to know that. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, we split like the web. We obviously
split just
the
us, yeah.
But we split the website. It was just us. We'd record. I would add in the intro. I would upload it. I would put it all in Squarespace. I'd make sure it got the RSS feeds. You help with Google and like we tag teamed it, but it was just us for so many years. And I got burned out of doing all of that and remembering to drop the episode. Oh, and then posting it on social media, and it was just like too much. And you were such a good partner in those moments. You always are, but like especially in those moments, it was like, this is why we partnered together on this, because you were able to. So gratitude is also an emotion I think about, because you were able to help me where I asked for help, and then there was another time where you were calling and you're like, hey, just wanted to give you a heads up, you know, my life is here, this may not be a thing, are you okay with that? And I'm like, I'm totally fine with that. Let's do this and until the wheels fall off, honestly, whenever that might be. And it sounds like, you know, we've shifted now where it still is this thing that we're both doing. So I would say, yeah, gratitude as I look back in retrospect for how committed we are and how much our communication and closeness has grown over the years to be able to keep this going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
I mean, I really echo some of those, technically all of those. Pride, gratitude were 2 of the 3 big like feelings that I tuned to. The other one is actually this feeling of trust with you. And you're describing to, you know, you're sharing with listeners some of the reasons why that's happened and the stuff that we've gone through behind the scenes, that getting to this place in our professional relationship and our friendship, that there's just this trust of being able to show up authentically with you. That's what this like 100 episodes represent to me, that I can show up authentically while we're recording, but also in our like pre-chats when we're getting ready for an episode, or like if any issue comes up in between, always being comfortable to say, hey, here's the deal, and not sugarcoat mm-hmm. or not hide or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I have to acknowledge, like, I'm analyzing like why trust comes up. I think part of it is because like I feel it so strongly. And this is what we talk about so often to relationships on the podcast. So yeah. My brain naturally kind of thinks about that when I'm in this mode of doing a recording. And I'm also then that goes back to pride. Like, I love that that's a big thing that I feel with you. That's really cool. So yeah, joy, the fondness. I'm with you on all that. I just think it's really, really cool that we've been able to do this and are continuing to do this.
Mm-hmm. And I think our listeners would agree.
Yeah. Let's shift gears to some other types of questions, not just podcast questions. You have a great list that you sent me of some options. I have them in front of me. Do you have them? Do you want to pick something or do you want me to pick one?
I will pull them up on my end.
Because these are questions that you put together that were aligned with the types of things. Because I mentioned to you, definitely want to talk about us, but just full disclosure to listeners, I was also like, but I don't want to get like super personal where like a listener could like learn a little too much about me because I am a bit private.
So am I,
personal life.
Yeah, we are not, we're open books with the chapters we're comfortable with, but not... download everything. Yeah,
I'm sure it's like a misplaced, but I'm sure it's like a little silly to be, you know, intentionally guarded in the sense that any of our listeners who like religiously listen, like a regular listener, just the random stuff that comes up when we're talking, I'm sure they have like a full profile of both of us. But that being said, I don't want to like throw any of like my close humans under the bus or share anything not me is related.
Yeah. I think the what are your favorite parts of your job question is a good one.
What's the favorite part of my job? Mm-hmm. Two specific things come to mind. The first one is a little bit obvious, but really, I love the connection experience that happens in my office. Most of the time, that's couples because that is my specialty and like, I don't know exactly how much, maybe 90% of my caseload are couples. Mm-hmm. So the connection experience, I want to get a witness that with partners because, you know, that's what they're coming in for. So that genuinely, like, I feel so alive and enriched after a session like that. I could be really tired. And to be clear, I've noticed that for me, I feel that way, not because I feel good about myself, which is a bummer, actually. I think one of the things is I take on emotionally the challenges of couples more than the wins. And that's not really a super healthy place to be. I struggle with that. I always see like where I could have done better and not necessarily what I did well. So it's not that I'm necessarily going, oh, yay, I did a great job. I want to get better at that. But it's actually just I got into being a couples therapist a little bit because I always joke like I'm a voyeur. Where it's like, I just like being in the intimacy and genuineness of real life, not the like fantasy of like, say, you know, reality TV or whatever. Yeah. So when I get the honor of witnessing two people who love each other, connect emotionally and feel that love, it's just like, it's like looking at a red panda and you just go, oh, you're so cute. It's so great. Like, I'm so happy. Hearts, 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 love, love, love. So that's really like a biggest, like favorite part of my job is those moments. And that's what I tell people who haven't done couples therapy yet is, or therapy at all, people always get worried like, oh, doesn't it suck sitting in all that like pain and difficulty all the time? It is hard, but remember like, that's just one part of therapy. Yeah. As therapists, we're also honored and like privileged to get to be able to sit with all the joy and connection.
Oh, yeah.
So I love that shit. And second little small thing is I really do like budgeting. So that's one of the weird things, like as a business owner that a lot of people don't like. Like yeah. I don't have an accountant, even though it would make sense time-wise for me to hire someone. I just like doing that stuff. So I love running a business. So that's like a little separate, but that is part of my job. Yeah, I do love it. I just like every week I have my little like sit down with my books and go, oh, yay, I get to put all the numbers together. I'm just a unique person that way, for our field at least.
Yeah, I think you and I... to segue, I'll answer the same question. You and I share in that. I love business. I love numbers. I absolutely am obsessed with it. And it is a rarity in our field, in our line of work, even in our area, I would say. Now it's becoming more desirable to learn more about it. But that's been a strong suit of mine for many years. And I've talked about it on other podcasts. It was my biggest fear in starting my own and not being on somebody else's payroll or in somebody else's business. And I remember having a conversation with my brother that changed everything for me. Like, that set the tone to start thinking about it differently. Because years ago, I think I've mentioned this, I was going down the road of law enforcement because of how structured and organized, and you showed up and you had a uniform and you had the paycheck and the this and the retirement and the pension. Like, that was my shit. I loved it. And then taking the risk and doing this instead was like huge at first, but now it feels like I would never go back to it. And it's so fluent for me. So that is definitely one of the favorite parts of my job. And knowing that I could support my family on my own if I had to is also a source of pride for me. And then the actual day-to-day part of my job, because I have a few as a therapist, I also work as a professor. I do coaching as well. So throughout all of those, the common thread is being able to share information that I've learned over my studies and my dedication to the craft that changes people's lives, that they have aha moments, they see themselves differently, they have better relationships with themselves, with other people, they are able to accomplish things they never thought possible by way of therapy or going to class or you know, having coaching sessions where they're like, I get it now, like that's what I need to apply. That to me is my favorite part of my job, is being a witness to watching people change and get themselves often out of a very negative or very dark mindset and shift into belief of self, belief of others, and change their worldviews, like through conversations is truly what it is. And obviously they're doing work hopefully outside of sessions, but I don't work a day in my life. I never feel, honestly, and I rarely use the word never. I think at least for the last few years, it does not feel like work. I think March of 2020 was the only time I ever, or 2021 was the only, at the end of that month was the only time I ever felt truly burned out. And when I went back and looked at it, it's because I did an ungodly amount of sessions because of the whole anniversary reaction, trauma response. But out of all of my years, that is the only day that I truly remember being like, oh, this is a lot, and feeling burned out. And I was like, this isn't me. Wait, I don't talk about my job like this. What gives? Which led me to go back and look at the numbers. And then I was like, well, no duh, silly. Like, you need a break, because that was a lot of sessions. And then I did my self-care and I had a weekend off and it was great. And I took a weekend away and I like reset, recalibrated. And that's been, it hasn't happened since. So the favorite part for me is watching the transformation and having, my other favorite part, and then we'll switch to another question, is when people refer specifically to me because of who I am. And it's not like, oh, you just see couples, you this. It's like, you see them in such a unique way and you're no nonsense and you're very tough and we need that. And I'm like, nice. Cause it lets me be my authentic self and I don't have to do what other therapists do. And it leaves other therapists who do it differently to have their own clients who are a good match with them. So that's my other favorite part, is getting to be my full authentic self in and out of the room.
Love that. Yeah. And I'm minorly jealous that you don't work that much, as in it doesn't feel like work, because I don't relate to that. I definitely still feel like I have work days and I hate writing notes. Done. That's like the number one gripe for most therapists is for, you know, like any medical professional, we have, of course, our documents, everything we got to do behind the scenes, not just therapy. I mean, probably I would feel like I never go to work if all I had to do was show up and just do
client,
yeah, just client interaction. But all right, I want to pick the next one, because we do really love our careers, we love what we do. That's the whole point of like this, the first part of this podcast. But I did want to kind of like ask a little bit behind the scenes stuff, or just other parts about you. What are your hobbies and passions outside of your work? What are the other things that you really enjoy? Of course, it can involve therapy as well. Yeah. Again, we love what we do, so there's going to be an overlap. But what are your hobbies and passions?
Literally going to therapy and consultation. Psychoanalysis. So I'm still in training all these years later. Optionally, I do not have to be anymore, but I'm just obsessed with learning. I'm a total geek. So other hobbies and passions would be working out. I've been pretty open about that.
Like your fitness is pretty bad.
Dietetics, nutrition, working out, learning about physical health. What else? Walking, which is still physical activity, listening to podcasts, reading books, cooking. I really like cooking. I like, now I'm not as much of a workaholic, so just like I call it being a burrito babe. I like wrap myself up depending on the temperature in a blanket on the couch and watch like Disney Plus all day. I like watching shows. I like chilling out now. spending time with friends and family, really just enjoying the life that I have built, is, mm-hmm. I would say, are my hobbies. I'm not like a deep sea diver or whatever. I like stand-up comedy. I would say that's definitely a hobby mm-hmm. that I have on, and I've mentioned that before, like doing stand-up, going to stand-up shows, travel, but like staycations. I have a more of a secure base close to where I am, so I don't like to take these big grand trips yet anyway. Yeah, I'm pretty go with the flow, I would say. I don't need a lot to be happy in my life. And most of the things I already do on a daily basis are my hobbies and passions, so I feel fulfilled when I get home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, you say you don't need a lot, I think, but you do a lot. And so, like, you don't need it, but it's like, that's because you've filled it already. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not somebody who, this is no offense to people who are like this, where it's like, I need super expensive dinners, crazy big handbags, the biggest house, this. Like, I'm cool with, like, my most basic, and a second step up needs are met. I'm really content and happy, and I love everyone in my life and the friends that I have. As you know, you are one of them. I'm very diligent about, like, the loyalty and the type of people I spend time around. So I'm very happy and content.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. What are your hobbies and passions? Those who listen,
anyone who's like looked at my website or generally, you know, has listened to this podcast,
has met me.
Two big things, tattoos and Magic the Gathering. If you've ever met me, you see I have a lot of tattoos, and to this day, I still, I get tattooed every year. That'll probably happen until either A, all the real estate on my body is gone, or my skin gets really hard to tattoo. And I'm getting, I'm almost 38. So I got like a good 10 years left. And I'm pretty sure that'll help me get to where I want to be. But I really enjoy tattoos. And a large part of that now is I've gotten all the tattoos that I sort of imagine and came up with that have like personal deep meanings to me, like my supervillain sleeve on my left arm. I'm not gonna go to all my like very personal tattoos, but all that's done. Yeah. I'm at the place now where, because I'm just in tattoos and artistry of tattoos, I just find artists that I adore and I reach out to them, set up a consult, and I just say, here's the space I got. What do you want to do? Like, I just go and hire artists to tattoo my body now. And that's really fun for me, because then I'm not always sure exactly what it's going to be when I go in to meet a new artist. I know I go in with ideas of, here's why I like what you do. Here's the stuff that I like of yours. Let's collaborate. And I love the collaboration process of coming up with something that the tattoo artist is stoked to do. And then I'm like, yes, I actually want that permanently on my body. And that's really fun. And then the process of getting tattooed, especially now, like, I don't really get a lot of small one-off pieces. It's normally like larger pieces. So it's a process. It's an investment. I love the entire, like, how many hours am I able to sit in a day, and how many, sessions over, a couple of months to really finish this big piece kind of thing. So I love that. And then, Magic the Gathering is my huge actual, like, hobby that I engage with every day. I used to play it every day because Magic the Gathering, a fantasy card game, I call it like fantasy chess. It's easily, you can play every day online, the card game. And I used to, but I love it so much. I found that it was almost like an addiction because it was so easy to play. And there is actually, those who play it know there's actually is an addictive quality to it. And the point is, like, it was so easy for me to just do that and work and nothing else. I had to put a limit for myself where I'm not allowed to play Magic on work days. Only on days off do I get to play Magic. That's how much I love it. I'm obsessed with it. To the point where every day, though, I still, instead of watching television and movies, which I do, like, I watch enough shows, don't get me wrong, but I'm never, like, excited for it. It's more like I watch it with, like, say, my partner, and she's into something. I watch people play Magic the Gathering. I'm that guy who watches, like, Twitch or YouTube videos where I'm so into it that my video content is all about watching that. So those are my two, like, biggest, like, one's a hobby, one's a passion. Big things in my world that I really enjoy. Absolutely. I could go on about more, but that's enough. I'm an avid reader. I got my dog. Those become like hobbies as well. But they're also kind of like more like lifestyle stuff. But those are the big ones. And that's one I could dive into a bit more detail on an episode like this. Yeah. All right. What's the next question, Talia?
What is the struggle or obstacle you've had to overcome to be where you are today in your business or personal life?
Oh, easy. Anxiety. So you've seen the experience of that. Yeah. It's still something that I struggle with, that I will have, it's been a long time because I really have like had to overcome it. But I've really had to attune to my physical and mental health to make sure I can show up for my clients. And it's because I experience stress and anxiety in some ways, like very strongly. I mean, I've had moments of just sitting crying on the couch. I've had moments in the shower, just sitting and crying because I'm feeling anxiety about what I need to do later that day. So there really is that hard, difficult place that exists inside of me. It's been, again, a while since that's really turned up. I think it's been over a year since I've had that level of intensity, but it absolutely has been a struggle as I've continued to grow into this business. It's something I always attune to about where's my burnout factor? Can I actually take on more clients or not? You know, I found the sweet spot for me, which is 25 clinical hours max a week. That feels good for me. Some people can do more than that, but if I start pushing beyond that boundary, that stress of the amount of work and how much emotion I'm dealing with in a day, that's too much for me. So I've had to learn that, and I'm glad I have. But that was a big one that I really, really like focused on for a long time with my therapist. Mm-hmm. That was rough. Yeah.
I like that you brought that up, because so many people listening, even if you are, whether you're a therapist or a client, I think we all struggle with anxiety in some way or another, whether it's the full diagnosis or not aside, it's the feeling of apprehension, the feeling of the what ifs, and regulating the nervous system. I can see how that overcoming that obstacle really does help you to be the person that you are today. That's a great obstacle that you've overcome.
Yeah. I want to say that too, just to like need to normalize that. I'm sure I've mentioned stuff like that on the podcast before. But I do get that, especially when listeners like tend to like hear us in our seats of authority, and we are coming from a professional authority of what we know and our expertise. That's what we're there to share, but it's also useful to remember that we have our own stuff that we work through and we struggle with. I think it's really good to share that.
We're not perfect. We're far from perfect.
You are definitely not perfect, Talia.
Yeah, I know. I am not. I own that proudly.
Heck yeah. If you thought you were perfect, or if I thought I was perfect, this podcast would not have lasted 4 years and 100 episodes.
Because I am literally the best ever, and I'm so perfect in every way.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely.
No.
Yeah. No. That's for me. That was my struggle that I think is, I'm sure there's others that I could easily come up with. I mean, like starting a practice is always a challenge for anyone who's ever started a new business. There's always, in each industry, there's that stuff. But I think the emotional one was one I wanted to go with. What about for you? What's a struggle or obstacle you've had to overcome to get to where you are today, either in your business or your personal life?
Personally, many, many, many years ago, self-esteem, self-worth concerns, drug problems, PTSD. I've talked about a lot. My adolescence was incredibly rough. And I had a very rare disease right before I started high school, and I basically died and was brought back to life. I was in the ICU for a whole month, and that changed my...
By the way, I don't think listeners know that, by the way.
No, I don't. I'm open.
I don't think we've said it on the podcast before.
Yeah.
So just a heads up.
Yeah. So I was young, and I had, like I mentioned, like a rare disease. It was a very fluke thing. And I was like rapidly declining. And I had I not had the medical care when I did, I would have died. And that to me, aside from already being a teenager at the time where you think you're invincible, I had proof. So I doubled down, and I had drug and alcohol problems. I had relationship problems. I had a lot of PTSD from being in the ICU, and it completely changed the trajectory of my life in both good and bad ways. And once I got back on the healthy, right forward momentum track, one of the obstacles I had to overcome was like perfectionism, workaholism, again, with the low self-esteem, low self-worth, trying to overcompensate, I would say was another obstacle. And then professionally, once everything had like lined up, grad school happened, et cetera, my obstacle that I had to overcome was my money mindset and my scarcity mindset around money. I had a lot of money wounds from my upbringing. That's a whole other story, I'm sure, but I would rather keep that private out of respect for my family. Money was not always something I could comfortably talk about. And it was definitely not something I had in grad school by any means. We were like looking at food stamps. So it was a big shift to be able to support myself and my family fully on my own salary now, or what my business, just one of my businesses, bring in. And I have one of my mentors who I've worked with since right before the podcast to thank for that. She's totally changed the game for me. And then last year I hired a different money coach who changed my life. So that obstacle of, you know, what if it goes back to being bad? What if I don't have money again? What if I'm on that fear rarely now comes up, but I had to work through that and make the investments in myself and believe that it would work and believe that I could do it on my own. And obviously I have proven that belief to be true, but the money mindset piece, I would say, so personally, we went over that, but professionally was the scarcity mindset and the money wounds. And I'm so grateful, so, so grateful every single day that I work through that, because I am so far ahead of what I ever thought I could be. And you and I have talked about that too. I'm like, I never thought I would accomplish all of these goals to the point where I'm like, no, I literally can chill. Like, I've looked at the numbers. I could never work a day in my life and still retire with millions and millions of dollars, which is like wild to think all the hard work and investments. That's another hobby, investments and finances and learning about finances. And I would add that too. But yeah, it's been a long journey. I've lived a lot. So I'm appreciative to be able to bring that up to our listeners. And if this is your first episode, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
You're listening for the first time.
That's so funny to think about, like, someone who stumbled on the podcast right now. And like, oh, cool. What's 40 years mean? And they're like, I'm not hearing really any relationship advice right now.
She's been through some shit.
Yeah. That's Talia. Okay, well, we got time for probably like one more question, so a little quicker one, just because of time. I wanted to ask this question you have on your list that I love. Where do you find inspiration?
I love this question. Probably because I came up with it.
I was going to say, it's your question, but yeah.
Let me reframe. I love asking this question. I have not been asked this question, so I find inspiration in my own personal life, my own relationships. And I also find inspiration when I go on my walks, with or without a podcast, when I have my time in my mind palace, my thinking time, that's where I draw inspiration from. And talking to like my students, talking to people who have like no clue, no offense, but obviously you learn to have clues and become smarter as you get older. And they're like, you know, early teens, late teens, all the way up till their 40s. Because with the college classes, it could be any age, that the way that they look at the world and the questions they ask, that's what keeps me going. I'm like, there's a point to this. Not everybody knows everything, but there are still people out there year after year who want to learn, who don't know, who are learning things for the first time. And that to me is pretty cool. And seeing things on social media for sure, I would say sparks it, like podcasts, but time in my mind is where I draw a lot of inspiration from, like being able to intake information from my external world and then interoceptively look at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What about you? Where do you find
it? So I'm going to take there's two different ways I could take this. The quick one, I think more traditional way of like inspiration of like, ooh, what like kind of jazzes me in this work is when I do work with other colleagues, actually. So it's like working with you on the podcast or my consult groups, like the exchange of ideas and the connection in this field is awesome. I just wanted to say that. So anyone listening who's thinking about being in this field, like it's such a collaborative collegiate space. Obviously there's some bad actors and some like egos out there, but for the most part, like, especially if you surround yourself with your kind of humans, oh my gosh, it's grand. But I actually wanted to answer a little bit differently about where do I find inspiration? Because when I take the idea of inspiration into like what helps motivate me, ground me, when I'm like thinking about like when I have those anxiety moments or just a bad rough day, where do I get inspired to show up a lot? Two big things. One is nature, because I didn't mention the hobbies things, but a big thing for me is hiking. That's like one of the ways I like to enjoy the world. So being able to go out in nature, it's very common, great mental health tool. And I absolutely live that. So I love animals. So it can be nature, like literally a squirrel outside my window along the fence brings me joy and inspiration. And then also like right now we're recording this in the spring during super bloom in Southern California. So heading out on the trails and just like hanging out and seeing all of the flowers, the quails, the rabbits, like all that stuff just brings me that inspiration of living a full, meaningful life. Mm-hmm. And then the other part of inspiration is in those moments where I'm really feeling drained, really feeling difficult or not too sure what I want to do for the day, my relationship with my partner, she brings me a lot of inspiration. And, you know, I wanted to mention that because I live that experience of having a secure relationship. And when it's like, I'm having some of the worst days, yes, I can turn to her and call her or ask to like see her. But even just knowing she exists in my life brings me that grounding and that inspiration to be like, oh, life is okay. Life is good. I've got this person who loves me. And I want to mention that, not just a shout out to her who's going to hear this and go, meh, probably, haha. But also so that people who like are hearing our podcast know like, some of what I'm sharing and how I guide couples is because I know what it's like to have that type of relationship and yeah. to know the power of what a secure relationship can bring us and all of the stressors we deal with day to day. We just sit and go, oh, I feel safe in my love. I feel content in my love. And I have this person who I'm walking this journey of life with. Oh, what an inspiration to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's how I would take the inspiration question. It's a good one. And I think with that, I think we've got to be done. You have so many other great questions to get into, but there's a good space for that.
We'll sprinkle them in on future episodes.
Yeah. We talk about us all the time anyway. Just this yeah, is like a really fun episode to spend the entire like hour doing that. And hopefully listeners out there are celebrating with us as we cheers to 4 years on our 100th episode.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening, not just today, but over this time that we've been doing this podcast. It means the world to me and Talia. So thank you and take good care.
Yes. We can't end the episode until you say that. So now I feel whole and complete. Thank you.